This is the Patty Vasquez Show. Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Friday night. Hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on 720 WGN. We'll be here till 1 a.m. when Matt Bubala comes in. We've got a lot of fun stuff, a lot of conversation. We save up all the big headlines of the week for Friday night. So, I don't talk about all the other things until tonight. And that's, that means we're going to talk a little bit about Kim Fox, a little bit about the Mueller report. But first, I want to talk about a conversation that started in the producer's booth. I was waved in by Mr. David Jennings, who joins me in the studio right now. And was postulating that the younger generation of folks, those under baby boomer age, I believe, mm-hmm. he put in Gen Xers, Gen Y, Gen Z, millennials, and said that none of us wear cologne or perfume for the most part, as far as you could tell. Is that what you're positing?
There was a period of time when in the workplace, it was like, oh, no, you shouldn't do that because you'll upset someone.
Okay.
You will offend someone's sensibilities. And if you notice if you walk into an office space, your nose doesn't go off as much as it used to.
And I do get overwhelmed by strong smells. But this is the first job I've had where I come in every day. I was on the road for 23 years.
That's right, yeah.
From comedy club. For me, for a long time, it was cigarette smoke and a lot of different smells. Yeah. But
stale beer and all those marvelous aromas.
Yes, yes. And I just never was around.
Marijuana in the bathroom.
Oh, among other things, yes. Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Yes, but in a workplace, then I work at night, so there aren't as many people here. And I've been around some folks that have cologne. Some people will come in. By the way, one of the reasons I've had my own headphones the entire time I've ever been a guest or a host is because I would leave, and on my way home from like Steve Cochran's show or something, I could still smell other people's cologne and perfume from the headsets.
No way.
Yes. So and hair product and things like that.
If it's on you, then whatever you put on.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
I find that there are still some people when someone hugs me and they're wearing a lot of scent, perfume, or cologne, I'll walk away still smelling like them for a while sometimes when it's overwhelming. So I think that some people do, but maybe you're right. Maybe in office spaces they're being a little considerate to others. But I dated a lot of guys that, and I sound like there are a lot of guys. I was telling you guys
spill the tea,
Dracar.
Just kidding.
Axe and things like that.
In your search for the right one.
Yes. And my husband still has the exact same little tiny sample bottles that he had when I met him 24 years ago.
Wow.
I swear, he hardly ever wears any of the colognes or anything like that. I've been with my husband for 24, with dating and married for 24. I know.
Oh, whack him once. Like, honey, yeah?
I personally love cologne perfume. Okay. Yeah. Like, I told my boyfriend, I was like, please, wear cologne.
Really? He doesn't wear cologne?
Well, look, I mean, it's not like an everyday thing. Like, for me, it's an everyday thing.
Okay.
And for him, it really wasn't up until, I kind of mentioned it, and he tried doing it more often. So, I don't know. It just depends on the person, I guess. Now, but I personally love it.
Sammy, who I think was in the Traffic or Sports booth for a moment, I walked into the producer's booth for Noonan's show, and I said, are you wearing cologne? And he is also wearing cologne, by the way. Young man. I believe he's only 23-ish.
Boom.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, when I was in high school, I was telling you guys before the show, I smelled so much of perfume that people could smell me coming down the hall. And my father was a chain smoker. We lived in a very small apartment, so I didn't realize that I had lost my sense of smell as well. And I used to wear, the big one I used to wear, God, this is how long ago it was, Poison.
Now, Poison.
Do you remember that one, David?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a heavy scent.
And then I remember
Obsession. I wore Obsession. And, yes.
Oh, I can't. I mean, they still carry those around.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. Obsession.
They are still around.
Yeah, Poison, I think, was a thing of the 80s.
Obsession, my mom used to wear it too, and I hated it.
And then I wore Shalimar, which is not necessarily not a great smell. I really had no sense of smell. And people said to this day, I have friends who are like, oh, yeah, we could smell you coming. Oh, yeah.
That's an aggressive smell. It's like it's strong.
Well, if you have no, and I probably
it's not a hi.
No.
It's more like,
hello.
Hey.
Exactly.
Freddy's here.
And I'm sure I thought I was being, you know, subtle about it by, you know, making a mist, you know, and walking through it. You know,
I actually just spray it all over me. I just spray it.
Aren't you supposed to put it like on your pulse points and things, or like behind your knee?
Yeah, but when I'm in a rush, I just boom, 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 just, you know, sprinkle it all over.
Oh man, and you don't wear any cologne anymore? Or do you?
Once in a while, I still do.
I'm trying to find here. I should show her the bottle of poison. That was my bottle, like this really cool, and that was part of why
I see it.
It was so cool. It looked like, you know, it was by Dior.
I'm more into Izzy Miyagi.
Oh, is that a smell?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's the
designer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the.
But it's fairly light.
Okay.
You know, it's not one of those. Youp, J-O-O-P, if you remember that one back in the day.
I used to
wear that. That's a little more.
Progressive? Aggressive?
Yeah. It's
Smell forward, scent forward, would
you
say?
Yeah. It's definitely scent forward. You'd know I was wearing it.
Yeah. And you're not. Are you wearing any tonight?
No.
Okay. So Roger has a dirty beard, and you and I are sans. I'm teasing Roger. Oh, no, I don't. Hi. Do you wear cologne,
Roger?
I'll
put my beard up against any dirty dog any day.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
I don't know if I need to see those pictures.
The look he's giving us.
I don't. Could you mark that for us? Roger, do you wear cologne?
I have not worn cologne in many decades.
Was there something that drove you to cease and desist?
I've worn a beard for about that long, and so I just stopped, since I wasn't really shaving, mm-hmm. except around my neck, I just stopped wearing the cologne. I didn't like it.
How about aftershave? Do you guys wear aftershave?
No.
My dad used to wear Old Spice.
And I had my Old Spice phase when I was much, much younger.
Yeah.
But that's now, they're trying to bring it back for the next generation.
There's Sammy with his cologne in the producer's booth. Well, he's not carrying it, but so the scented people are in the producer's booth. They're both,
yes, we are.
Both millennials.
Let's seal them in.
Yeah. Hey, let's say how happy we are to wear colognes and perfumes.
Sammy, what kind of cologne?
Wait, Roger, what?
Have really gotten to me.
What was that?
The scents from people and from foods and cigarettes and stuff have really gotten to me. My sense of smell has gotten very acute.
Oh. Can you ask Sammy what cologne he's wearing? I'm just curious.
He's wearing Louis Vuitton.
Ooh.
Fancy schmancy.
And what are you wearing?
Chanel.
Wow. It's a couple of high-end producers over here.
Upscale. Yeah. Really? We're paying them too much.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that up.
But she can only afford number 7, not number 9.
More after this on 720 WGN. We'll talk to Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's Binge and Uncork. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. David Cromer, the Tony-winning director of Broadway's The Band's Visit, returns to Writers Theater to direct the electrifying musical Next to Normal. Called Brave and Breathtaking by the New York Times, Next to Normal runs for a limited engagement May 8th through June 16th only. The winner of 3 Tonys and the Pulitzer Prize, Rolling Stone says Next to Normal will pin you to your seat. Writers Theater is just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra. For more information and tickets, visit writerstheater.org. That's writerstheater.org. It has been a few weeks since we've had an opportunity to catch up with our favorite winemaker, Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Joins us on the line. Susan, it's so lovely to talk to you tonight.
Miss you guys, although I listen, so I still get to hear you, but
aww,
I miss talking.
Thank you. And I have to say, Elliot was supposed to be here tonight, and he had to take the night off because he's got to be up early in the morning. So I know, I couldn't wait anymore. I would have said, oh, you know, we'll wait another week. But I was like, you know what? I shall go sans Elliot to talk to Susan Dannenberger, even though Elliot was the co-creator of Binge and Uncork. Our segment in which Susan Dannenberger pairs a wine from her vineyard with a series that some of us, or a movie that we're watching on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon. And this series that we chose for the segment was Catastrophe. So what did you think of the series?
Do you think, first of all, do you think Elliot watched it?
I don't think he did. I think it was I think that's why he was like, I'm not going to be there. Maybe it made him uncomfortable. Maybe the relationship stuff made him uncomfortable.
Well, it was super awkward.
Yeah.
It was an awkward like comedy, but that's what British comedy is. So it was hysterical and awkward at the same time.
It is a very awkward series. Now, I don't know about you, Susan, but when I missed the period of my life where I might have ever tried having a hookup situation, like a one night stand. I never did. And I don't, now having seen this series, I'm very glad I didn't. Because can you imagine? So this is a series about an American who is on a business trip in London, and he meets a teacher who happens to be from Ireland. They have a good chemistry. They hook up. It was only going to be a one night stand. They end up spending the weekend together. And then she finds out that she is what? What do you think, Vivian?
Pregnant.
Surprise. And hijinks.
Oh, my goodness.
The hijinks. And absolutely, it's so funny because if you just, like, I accidentally watched it a little bit out of order, and I'm like, how many kids do they have now? Right?
Two, right?
Right. I know, but I was like, where did the second one come from? But they, you know, he decides to do the, you know, the adult thing and move to London and decide to, you know, leave his job and everything in the United States and go to London. How surprised were you to find out who played Rob's mom?
I was shocked. That was hysterical. I'm like, what?
You can tell people. Well, spoiler alert if you don't want to know who the cast is, but I mean, once you pick up the series, it's Carrie Fisher plays Rob's mom, and she has some very strong opinions about his first girlfriend, then the baby mama, and then eventually his wife. And their life, when it spirals out of control, it really spirals, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I was, since we waited longer, I ended up watching all four seasons.
Right.
Because so I got all the way to the, actually I have one show left, but I already know what's going to happen. Cause I kind of did a peek on what's going to happen. So I was, you know, you go through the whole series of, oh, our first child, this is so wonderful. And then, oh gosh, it's wearing down. And then it's getting to the, like, I don't know how I feel about you. We should be separated.
Right.
And now we're trying to work things out. So, I mean, it's really gone through the whole phase of a relationship. And now we're trying to work things out together. And it was kind of a lot put into a small show, but it was super awkward. I mean, each time you're like, oh God, I can't watch. It's like too real.
Oh, it is. It's very real. And by the way, for those, you know, in case you, you know, are concerned, there is language, there is nudity, there is sex, there's talk about sex. There's a little bit of, you know, there's some surprising moments that if you're, my mother's the kind of person where I don't know if I could watch this with her. I think she would find it funny and then get uncomfortable because the season finale for season 3 when he's driving. I was so surprised and I felt so bad for him. You know, again, there's so many moments throughout this series where you kind of love and hate both of them at the same time, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both need to get their stuff together and you're just like, oh, guys are bad for each other, but you're great for each other.
And by the way, the lead actor has co-created this series, which is a wonderful, I think, a success and a great example of working hard together, collaborating, drawing on your own life, and bringing something to the screen that is a testament to their skill, to their talent. I really love it's Rob Delaney, who actually grew to fame mostly through stand-up comedy, and he shared a lot of his jokes on Twitter early on when it was that form of communication and social media, and Sharon, I'm trying to look for her last name, Sharon Horgan. And they're great, but you also think, like, how much of this is coming from stories from their friends and themselves, you know?
Yeah, too real.
It is. Were there times when you're like, I don't know if I could take this anymore? This emotional journey is a bit much. Yeah.
It was hard to believe, like, all of this is happening in one person's life.
Right.
Really, like, it's just such a black cloud. I'm like, oh God,
why
am I laughing? This is when I can't stop laughing at you. This is terrible.
There are moments, which is a good thing that you paired a wine with it, which, by the way, it actually worked out for me that we weren't able to do this last week, because then I could watch season 3 with a glass of the wine that you paired with this, which let folks know which that was.
It was the Lovelock Rosé.
Oh, it's so good. And it's an apple. It's an apple kind of flavored, not flavored, but that's what the hint of it is.
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
You have some nice, like, Honeycrisp apple coming through in the rosé. Yes.
It was. It is. So it's a Honeycrisp. It's so good. Do you like rosés, Vivian?
I love wine in general.
Oh, this was. Sorry, I'll bring you some next time.
You should have brought some.
I know, but some. But we will. We will. It's. It
I figured
is,
it's going into spring.
Yes,
you know, you're kind of feeling a little bit lighter about things, and then of course the name Lovelocks, because he was like locked in this
relationship. Oh yes. Well, and it was
perfect.
And like you mentioned, there's a lot of this, you know, dark cloud hanging over the couple, and to have this wonderful, bright, slightly sweet wine. And I have to tell you what it pairs with really well, which is guacamole and chips.
Oh,
now you're making me hungry.
It's very fruit forward.
Yeah.
It's dry, but it's super fruit forward. So your mind doesn't feel like it's like astringent. And I could see where the chips with the salt would be fantastic.
Oh, it was. I was up later than I should have been last night, having some lox of love, and I went home, and my husband has been buying avocados, and really good ones. They're big, and I chopped up some tomatoes, and I put garlic in mine, which isn't necessarily obviously not a Mexican thing.
That's
to do.
A nice spin.
Oh, I liked it a lot, with a little bit of lemon juice and some tahine and some of my a little bit of hot sauce. It was so good.
I don't know if this is true, but I think I read today that it's National Garlic Day.
Is it really?
Is that a thing?
Oh, my husband's not going to like that, because I love garlic. I could just saute a little bit of garlic and a little bit of butter and put it on bread. I'd be all set. But last night, for whatever reason, I just saw it next to the, you know, I was in the kitchen, and I thought, I'm going to put that in my guacamole, and it turned out well.
Actually, yeah, today is National Garlic Day.
Some smelly, maybe that's why so many people are wearing perfume tonight. They're like, I got to cover up all this.
I got to cover it up. That's right.
So it's Locks of Love with the series Catastrophe, which is a series running on Amazon Prime, you can watch it on Amazon. And there were four seasons. I think they wrapped up. This is their final season, so that'll be it for that show. And we have to pick a series for next week, but before we do, how's everything going at the vineyards? What's in the makings right now?
So I'm getting ready to roll out like the next white wine. So I have a new Blanc coming out, and the next rosé, which is La Femme Rose. And it's finally gorgeous down here. I started pruning this week, and the buds are popping. So life is coming back. It's very exciting. I love spring.
It's wonderful. And you must have some live events coming up at the Dannenberger Family Vineyards event space?
As always, yeah. We always have the music on the Saturdays and Sundays, but the whole month of May is just all blues. And so we have Friday nights and Saturday nights and Sunday. And then next Saturday, we're doing a fashion show. I'm pretty excited. It's for the American Cancer Society Colors of Cancer program that they do every year in April, and I'm one of the ambassadors. So we have fashion from original designs that are all throughout the different models walking in the show, and all the proceeds are going to the American Cancer Society. So I'm excited about that.
I love that. And by the way, for those who are wondering, Dannenberger Family Vineyards is located in New Berlin, Illinois, just right near Springfield. So you could do a field trip if you're up here in Chicago when it gets warm. Well, this weekend's going to get warmer. No, it's Easter, but when you want to take a little short road trip, you know, go take your family on a field trip to Springfield, see all the land of Lincoln sites, see our state capital, and then head over to Dannenberger Family Vineyards, which is, it's 12341 Irish Road.
Yep.
It's right there on Irish Road. For her family, that's her family road, Vivian. That's how long her family's been in New Berlin. It's their road.
And so we have to name our own road, yeah.
That's so cool. And you can also follow all the doings on Instagram
I'm Stilettos in the Vineyard, and then the winery is DFV Wines.
DFV Wines. It's so lovely to catch up with you. So the series for next time we get together, because hopefully it'll be next week. Do you like crime stories, or is that too dark? Do you think going into?
Oh no, I just love watching all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I'm ready.
There's a series that I really like, and I'm hesitant because it is very stressful, but it's a British show.
You've given me a lot of dark stuff, so I've been able to handle it so far.
Oh, my God. I know. I feel like I should give you a better comedy. Maybe I should look for a comedy, because what we did One Day at a Time was the one before this, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a comedy, so.
I know. So this,
good.
I know. I feel badly giving you another serious one, but this only has two seasons. I don't know if you'll want to watch the whole thing, but it's called Happy Endings. It's a British series about this police officer whose daughter
daughter, unfortunately, has she's taking care of her daughter's son, and somebody's released from prison, setting off a whole slew of events that she has to sort of get to the source of, and hopefully get some justice for her daughter. So it's called Happy Endings on Netflix. I'm sorry, Happy Valley. Happy Endings. That's horrible. Erase that. Sorry, everybody. That's a different story. Different story altogether. But I don't even know if that's a series. Susan's like, what's the name of the show? This is a drama? And it's called... it's Happy Valley. God, I don't
know. Oh, my goodness. You're hilarious.
Know what this is? This is from listening to the Rokan show yesterday when he was talking about the owner of the Patriots coming out of a massage parlor. And now I've mixed all my titles.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so it's Happy Valley, Susan. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not...
I'll be binge watching on Easter Sunday.
Happy Valley. No, don't watch it on Easter. You know what? Do you like the superhero movies and stuff? Have you watched all of the Avengers?
Yes, I love Marvel.
Because my favorite, the movie that I think is one of the funniest. Have you seen Thor Ragnarok?
No.
So watch that on Easter instead, and then watch Happy. Maybe we should talk about Thor Ragnarok next week, even though like Endgame is coming out next week, and we'll just save Happy Valley for when
we talk about both. Okay.
Yeah. So
squeeze them both in.
Yeah. There you go. Break it up with Thor Ragnarok. If you like superhero movies, I think that's a fun one to watch this weekend.
Oh, excellent.
Leading up to Endgame. All right, Susan Danenberger, go Danenberger Family Vineyards. Find out about their incredible event space. You can go get something to eat there. She has an incredible chef, which I believe is your son, isn't it?
Yeah, we did a dinner tonight for 50 people. It was fantastic. He did a fantastic job. I was so proud of him.
Yay. Well, have a wonderful Easter weekend. We look forward
you
to seeing
you. Too. Happy Passover.
Happy Passover. And I adore you, Susan. It was great to hear your voice again.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Take care. More after this on 720 WGN. Ooh, Britney Spears. Toxic.
You got, yes.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. You're getting better.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Dance party.
Oh.
The Wii dance party.
Okay. There you go.
Never mind. Poor David Jennings keeps trying to leave. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just said something I want to talk about. Warren and our car guy, Warren, is about to call in. And we are going to talk a little bit about, something that came up. We were talking about garlic a few minutes ago.
Yes, it was. It's National Garlic Day.
Yes.
Dave.
I love garlic, too. Wonderful.
Best
invention ever.
How about you, Roger? How are you on the garlic?
I'm good on garlic.
You're good on garlic?
Oh, yeah, not a lot, but just enough.
Well, David Jennings just was talking about how I mentioned I was married for 19 years and with my husband for 24, and I said, yes, we got married in 2000, and you would be accurate that the reason we got married in 2000...
Yeah, but this is the best part. It's why she picked the year 2000.
So I would always remember how long I've been married. That was, both of us did that, by the way. That was a joint venture that we both decided that we should get married in 2000. So now I know it's 2019, then I just add 5 years, and it's 2024.
And if you throw in the month, that really screws you up, right?
July.
Oh, well, look at you.
We are terrible, though. My husband and I, we were at a parking lot. We had taken the kids to Great America. It was about 6 o'clock when we were leaving. You know, it's dusk. We were putting the kids in, you know, in the car seats and stuff. And we both look up over the top of the, at the same moment, we went, oh, my God, it's our anniversary.
Slick move, slick.
Mm-hmm. But joining us on the line now, do you have a car, David? Are you a car guy?
I had one.
Had one? Well, yeah. We have a car guy. We have Warren Price on the line with us. Hawk joins us. He's on his way home from Passover dinner. How was your dinner? How was your dinner?
It was awesome. Awesome. We had a great time.
Now, Warren was texting me because one evening we had a conversation about green peppers. And I was explaining...
Green peppers. Oh, my God.
You're never going to look at peppers the same way again. Now, do you know what a green pepper is?
I know what it looks like,
It's an unripened red pepper. It's not done yet. And
really?
People would not believe me. Tom Hush was like, no, it's not. And I think he almost felt bad that I was sounding silly on the air. And then he looked it up and people started texting. And lo and behold.
It's true.
I don't like to do the happy dance to you.
You're going to.
I'm doing it right
She's
now.
Doing it right now, yeah, everybody.
She is.
Warren was surprised. Warren,
I was blown away because I grow peppers in my backyard.
Wow.
And you're picking them too early. The green peppers have too much of a tangy taste because they're not done. They're not, you gotta let it fit. Like, orange is kind of okay, but it's supposed to be a red pepper.
What about yellow peppers?
It's on its way to red.
On its way to red, correct.
Yeah.
So all of them are
on their way.
It's a matter of when you pick them.
Think of it as a stoplight.
So they're intentionally picked because each has a different flavor.
Right. Some people like the green peppers. And here in the story, and I have to explain though, I used to love green peppers, but as a kid, I ate them like they were apples. I used to love eating green peppers. I know.
Wow. Okay.
And I overdid it, and now I can't.
I think I gave her the look that you just said wow for. Okay?
That's so funny.
Eyes open, like, what did she just say?
Yep. Now, do you have a garden, Warren?
I have a garden, and I know why that I never get to get red or yellow or red out of my peppers.
Why?
Because our growing season in this wonderful city of ours is kind of short.
Yes.
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 So
that makes sense.
I was gonna plant last week, and I'm glad I didn't because of the snowstorm we had.
Oh yeah, no kidding!
Mother Nature had other ideas.
Oh, I wonder how many.
Terrible.
I wonder how many people lost some of their plantings by putting them out before this past weekend. Oh no!
I lost some of my flowers. My tulips died.
Oh no! Yeah. Our daffodils came up this week.
Oh, yellow?
Yes. Apparently they're of the hardier type. They weathered that snowstorm.
Those poor our plants and crops are going to get really confused the way things are going. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Is it time to bloom or is it not time to bloom?
Right.
But wait a minute. I just started blooming. What do you mean it's below freezing again? Can you make up your mind, Mother Nature, please?
That's the way he said that.
Aren't we all confused?
I'm very, very confused. Well, speaking of being confused, is there anything, as our car guy, you can recommend we do as we move from winter to spring and then summer? Is there, I know that there's going to be a change in the type of gas we put in our cars, because I've had a problem with the Honda Odyssey where it sort of clunks a little bit when that changeover happens.
Yeah,
so you got to start putting some premium in. What happens during the winter when snow just sits on your car, and then you go get gas, and you open it up, your little gas door, and take the cap off. But sometimes water, snow, moisture gets in there, and it starts to, liquefy, and it gets into your fuel, and it's good to start using a little of a high-grade gas and putting in maybe even some type of a fuel additive in to get that moisture away.
Okay.
I'm just, Warren, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Every year we do the winter blend and the summer blend. Why don't they just do the summer blend all year long since it was created to burn cleaner than the winter blend?
Well, probably because your car is under more stress in the winter and the fuel has to be at a greater strength.
Okay.
That's just an opinion.
Okay.
I can't live and die by those words, but I know that your car, when it's below zero, your car is working a lot harder than it is when it's 100 degrees out.
Right.
Because your engine runs at approximately 210 degrees normally, and in the winter with the fighting with the cold and trying to keep that temperature up, your engine works a lot harder.
Okay. That's good to know.
That's just the thought process.
And then with is there anything that people need to do to make sure that, start testing your air conditioning, see how it's doing? I mean, it's a good time to take it in.
Here's a good thing to do. One is to replace your cabin filter.
Oh.
Because that's what your car breathes. In air conditioning systems, you use your car in a recycle mode where you're recycling the cold air and it's keeps your car cooler, but you're also recycling air from a dirty filter, which gets very dirty during the winter, because in the winter you're supposed to bring in the air from the outside. Also, your wiper blades get destroyed in the winter. Replace them.
Yeah. You saw mine. They were all mangled.
No, they're terrible. Yeah terrible.
Yeah.
We got you blades last time you were in.
I did, yeah. Got new blades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember when we were by Toyota?
Yeah, that was a blast. I was test driving one of their new minivans. That was and I'm not buying one.
How was that?
Yeah, it was great. It was
Warren,
good.
Please put Patty into something other than a minivan for a test drive.
Patty will look cool in a minivan.
She has the best car for her lifestyle right now.
I do. I have a Toyota Prius. And, and then and
it does
you,
everything for her.
Yeah. Well, so we have a wheelchair for Declan. And the wheelchair for the, it works to put it in the minivan, obviously, it's helpful. But the Prius, we don't know why. We were all fascinated. We tried a couple different used cars. We tried the Ford Edge. We tried a couple of those small SUVs, a couple other sedans. The wheelchair fits into the back of the Prius, believe it or not, the hatchback. Yeah, we're a little bit nervous that maybe it won't in the newer models, right, Warren? Because I have a 2010.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 But it, shocked. It fits like a perfect.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It used the space so beautifully.
Out of curiosity, for when it comes to securing your car, like alarm systems and such, I've read something, and I'm wondering if you believe it. There are some who say the best anti-theft device for a car is buying a car with a manual transmission.
Today?
Yeah, because young people don't know how to drive a stick shift anymore.
I have three guys that work for me that can't drive stick.
You've got to be kidding.
No, and I have, 20-some-odd guys working for me.
Wow.
And these guys have to learn. And I just got a car for my daughters, actually. I've got the girls in the car with me right now.
She's got twin daughters.
And Claire took her driver's test today over at Elston Avenue, Patty.
Over by there? Oh, congratulations.
Over by there, right by your house.
Tell her we said congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, we're on speakerphone with the family. Hi, girls.
I actually flunked a driver's test because I made the mistake of driving the way I drive, not the way the book says you're supposed to drive.
You're not supposed to do that.
You got to go a little bit different there.
That's exciting. Are you excited for your daughter, or are you a little bit nervous now that she can grab the keys and go now?
I'm not nervous one bit.
Okay, good.
Oh. No, it's all good.
All right. Griffin's got his, he'll be taking his driver's classes this summer because he'll be 16 in September. So, you know, he could do it ahead of time. I know, I'm so nervous.
May the Lord have mercy upon your soul.
He's a sophomore, isn't he?
He's a freshman, but he was born one day after the deadline to get him into kindergarten. So he's always the oldest kid in his class.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all. I think it has done him a lot of good.
Sophistication is a good thing.
Yeah, I was always the youngest because my birthday is in August. Warren, can you hold on for another segment? Because I have a text that just came in, and I'd like to talk to you about a few other things and recap a little bit, too. We're talking to Warren Price from European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway. Look at that. I had the information right in front of me for once. So visit his website. And what's the number folks can call 24/7 if they're in a bind and maybe they need a tow truck?
630-561-2222 or the shop at 773-248-1200.
And again, you can Google it, too, if you want to find more information. European and U.S. Car Service. More with Warren when we come back on 720 WGN. If you live in Chicago, you got to have a guy. You got to have a guy. You got to have a guy that does your plumbing. You got to have a guy that does your tuck pointing. Maybe you got a guy that does your lawn. We got a guy that does our cars. We got Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto Body on the line with us on his way home from dinner, Passover dinner with his daughters. And in the car, how's traffic, by the way, on 294?
It was a breeze. Totally clean. No problem.
Excellent. Good. I mean, we've got traffic on the tops and bottoms, but it's so crowded downtown Chicago. It's not warm out. I don't know why everyone's out tonight, but neither here nor there. Warren, we have a question from a listener. Honda and Toyota want their coolant in their vehicles, like their brand, I'm guessing, right? It's more pricey than the stuff on the shelf at the big box stores. Can I use the big box stuff? Thank you in advance.
The answer is yes, you can use the big box stuff. Just make sure it's the right flavor.
Oh, you're not supposed to taste that.
Each manufacturer has some specified brand of coolant that's really specific for the car. Jeep does, BMW does, Mercedes does. They're doing this special. It's a special formula, and it works best with their vehicles.
All right.
You can get generic or just water in the summer. It's best to use coolant. You know, it's funny. It is more expensive, but it's really worth it if you really, you know, break it down to a few pennies a week, a month. Let's say it's $12, $18 more for the liquid. It's kind of worth it.
All right. There you go. Question answered. You know, so you can, but it might be worth it to spend a little bit more.
Well, if your cylinder head blows because you didn't put the right
type of fluid in.
Ouch.
That's going to cost you $2,500.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's not good.
Do you need to change your oil every 3,000 miles, or is that standard now gone?
Well, when I started in the business back in the day, we changed our oil every 3,000 miles. But it was also with a different type of oil. It's more conventional. Today, with Graphic, with the oils that are being used today, they're definitely better made. You don't have to change them as often. You can go every 7,500 miles.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yes. All right.
Some companies don't say it's good to go 15,000 miles. I do believe in frequency is best. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. But
the synthetic oils that are out today are great.
Steve, I think that Steve was going to do this in person. And I have no shame. And we've mentioned before that sometimes I do. And so this is a warning to your daughter to not do like Patty does. I will drive the car until after it's warned me that I don't have any more gas left. And
you mean the yellow light stays on for 3 days before you add gasoline?
Well, on the Prius, like that last bar flickers, it flashes for you to let you know, like, this is it, you're getting close. It's a bad habit I think I've had since I was in high school that
you just love to push the envelope. Just see how far you can get before the thing just says.
Yeah. I've never run out of, I have not run out of gas since I was 17. But you would
never
think
use the word never.
I know. You would think I would have learned my lesson at 17. My Toyota Corolla, I had a 76 Toyota Corolla, and the gas gauge just didn't work at all. So you would, I would just think I would guesstimate how much I had left. And
every 3 days, you'd best it every 3 days, fill it just to be sure.
So
you know?
It is an issue. I mean, especially in the wintertime, or if I'm coming home from work, I don't want to get out of the car. I just want to go home and go to bed. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I am whiny. Pardon me, everyone. Let's just reset that. I am going to do better, Warren. I am making a commitment on the air to the audience, to you, and especially to my husband. I will make sure that I keep that car above half a tank.
that is not necessary.
No?
Especially because, you get 300 to 400 miles per tank, don't you?
It's great. It's like $35 to fill the whole thing.
So, I mean, you're talking about getting gasoline every 10 days.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you need the exercise, Patty.
That's okay. That's fair. It's been a bit since I've been a doghouse.
It's your hot. The dog. I drove by there today when I went to Elston.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. The doghouse on Elston Avenue. Oh, I love working out there. It's just been a bit since I've... It's ever since they moved, I've fallen out of the habit of going there. It was like my go-to place. It was my happy place.
Isn't it only like 6 or 7 minutes from your house?
Okay, let's not get into specifics. It used to be a straight shot up Northwest Highway. Now,
oh, Warren, I'm liking you more with every minute. Let me tell you.
What did she say about not holding back?
Yeah. Right. Warren will be honest. Well, that's what makes you such a great car guy. You're honest. You're straight up with your customers. You let them know what's got to be done. You'll give them the good news with the bad, and that's why people love coming to you.
So why aren't you going to the gym that's only 6 or 7 minutes away from your house?
That's a really good question. I've been so bad about workout. It just fell off the workout horse. I got to get back on it.
Patty, didn't you have some kind of an injury?
I did, and I was supposed to have surgery, and that didn't happen. But there are things that they are always good about helping me scale back and work around that. So I have to go back and commit. That's all. I have to commit.
That's okay. You'll do what you do, and you'll do it well.
All right. So thank you. So to recap, make sure you are, as we move into warmer weather, you want to put some premium gas because you've got all that sludge and stuff that's been building up over the winter. You want to have your cabin filter replaced. Chicagoans.
Yes, wiper blades got to get replaced. Check your tires again now. Your tires are going to wear a lot more in the warm weather because of the heat on the road and the tires as you drive faster. The heat's incredible. You're going to wear your tires.
The Lincoln
more.
Penny test still valid?
No, you have to use a nickel or a quarter.
Oh, wow, look at that.
We've upgraded. Okay.
There was a moment there you reminded me of my dad when I was going through the listening. You were like, now, here. Basically, I heard him say, now this is what you got to do. And it just sounded a lot like my dad. So I'm so glad you're in the car with your daughters. And I love that you had a great evening. And I want to wish you a wonderful rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for jumping on the line with us.
I couldn't resist. But as soon as I'm listening to you on the radio coming home, and all of a sudden I heard you talking about today's National Garlic Day. And then I'm thinking what I make for dinner at least once a week is pasta with garlic and pepper.
Ah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so green peppers.
green peppers. Well, actually, I get the yellow and red that I throw in for color. It's very pretty.
Nice. Well done. Well, thank you so much. Girls, okay. have a great rest of your weekend, too. Thanks for lending your dad to us.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye,
you
bye everybody. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, David Jennings. You have a great weekend, too.
You, too.
Happy Easter.
Same to you.
Yay. Or happy Passover as well. Is that what you say? I should find out if it's what
just
you
Easter. Just for me. Easter.
Well, for everybody. Bye. More in a moment.
I can't fix a blasted thing. That's why I'll be relying on the experts who can. Plus, at the front end of grilling season, have you discovered your grill is kaput, or do you just want a new one? We can take care of that. Giving away a free Weber kettle grill at 8:50.
Dave Flyer in for Lou Manfredini tomorrow morning on 720 WGN.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
No matter how well you provide for your family today, if you don't have life insurance, their future may be at risk. Think about what would happen if you were gone. Would they struggle to pay the bills and face an uncertain future? They don't have to. You can help guarantee those you love $200,000, $500,000, $750,000 or more with life insurance through AIG Direct. We'll help you get more for your money, up to 70% more. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-1497. Just look, you could get $250,000 of term life coverage for as little as $14 a month. It's no wonder millions of people rely on AIG companies. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Make the future more secure for those you love. Call now so you can sleep better at night. For a free quote, call 1-800-300-1497. That's 1-800-300-1497. 1-800-300-1497.
Message and data rates may apply.
Car trouble? Mechanic. Leaky pipe? Plumber. Hair loss? Bosley. Bosley's the one-word answer to hair loss because they can give you your real hair back permanently. They're America's number one hair restoration experts, and they'll show you for free how great your hair could look. Reserve an absolutely free evaluation today by texting GOOD to 85850. You'll also get a free information kit and a free gift card. Thanks to Bosley, America's hair doctors, getting your hair back is normal now, like an oil change or a pipe fixed. Trusted by people all over the country, Bosley uses the latest technology to give you your real hair back permanently. Their solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Reserve your free evaluation by texting GOOD to 85850, and you'll also get a free information kit and a free gift card for $250 off. Text GOOD to 85850. That's G-O-O-D to 85850.
Time now for our news. When we come back, we're going to revisit whether or not green peppers are, in fact, on their way to be red peppers. That's what they are. They're not red or green peppers. They're bell peppers. And depending on when you pick them, you know, that'll determine how they taste. They're tangier. We'll talk about when we come back. You know what? You're not going to be the only ones. Mike Lieber and Dave Lundy are not the only ones listening to the show that didn't believe me. So everyone can Google it. I'm happy to have the conversation again.
I Googled it. It was true.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to do the dance again. I'm going to do the
all
dance
right.
again. I believe we have debated and settled the argument. Green peppers are simply red peppers, bell peppers that have not ripened. Why are you shaking your head? It's the truth.
I can't accept this.
Is it your whole life?
I'm sorry, this is just blowing my mind.
That is Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. Also in studio, we have Mike Lieber. Michael Lieber, founder of the Lieber Law Group. And on the line with us, we have Ken Jakubowski, who is the president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises and a crisis communications consultant, anyway, we'll talk about President Trump and tweeting, and I don't even know
who?
If crisis communication right. expert is somebody. I don't even know how
crisis you're... It's like everything's a crisis these days.
Exactly.
So.
But Ken, did you know that that green peppers were merely bell peppers that were not ripened yet?
Well, I know that my favorite dinner is stuffed red peppers.
There you go.
And the question I have is, what about yellow peppers?
Also on their way to being red peppers.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Yes.
By the way, so according to the wiki,
yes,
the red bell peppers have more vitamin C content than green bell peppers.
Because it's not done. It's gotten more sunshine.
It's been cooking. Able to
develop.
That would make sense. Yeah. If red bell peppers are the goal for every pepper that is born wants to be a red bell pepper.
So does that mean that we are depriving peppers of their God-given right to become red by picking them prematurely? Isn't that kind of like a pepper abortion?
Right. Wow. It's weird.
It's got weird. Yeah, it got weird. You are now every time you eat a green pepper, you're like, I could have had more vitamin C.
Exactly.
If I had just been more patient, I could have had more. I could have vitamin C.
Exactly. Well, now we know why it's more expensive.
I forget where I was.
Yes.
But it was the omelet had green peppers, and I'm not one of these people who say, hey, when I order, I'll just be like, all right, whatever. But I just don't like green peppers.
I think it ruins everything it touches for me.
Yeah.
I can't. I'd rather.
So you feel about green peppers the way I feel about pickles?
Yes, it sounds like it. Yeah. I would rather have anchovies on my omelet than I would than having yeah.
Ooh,
than
I, have love, green peppers. I love anchovies.
There we go. See,
now raisins. Don't even get me started with raisins.
You don't like raisins?
Well, not cooked in foods.
No. Oh yeah, that's annoying.
Well, but similarly, raisins are the prunes. Are just immature raisins.
No,
what?
Prunes
are plums.
Oh, prunes are immature.
Dried plums.
All right.
Raisins wait, is that right?
Wait, yeah, raisins are grapes.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry, yes. Raisins.
No, you go. It was to you. I want
are mature grapes.
But right. Don't you put raisins, haven't you ever put them on like oatmeal or cream of wheat or something like that?
Sometimes.
Have you never done that? And I can make you arugula with raisins that will make you drool for a week.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
No raisins.
Wow.
No raisins, and also no carrot cake. When people say carrot cake is my favorite kind of cake, my thought is, yeah, let's take a cake, let's make a cake, and let's make it primarily out of a vegetable.
Oh, I make the best zucchini bread, my friend. I make a great zucchini bread. Ken, do you have any particular food that if it's touching anything that you're eating, it ruins everything?
No.
No? Nothing? You'll eat everything? Is that what you're saying?
Foods that I wouldn't want to touch would never get to my plate, like anchovies, for example.
Oh, okay, but what about pickles?
They wouldn't enter my house, so,
What about
raisins are great. I don't understand why. You could put raisins in everything. Bread, carrot cake.
Roger, do you have anything that you cannot, I can't, if pizza has green peppers on it, I'm out.
Well, things I won't eat?
Yes.
Most vegetables.
Most vegetables?
Yeah.
What?
Well, hold on a second. Someone's calling about my vegetables.
Oh, boy. You're in trouble.
I read recently Peter King, his column on NBC, Pro Football Talk, that Al Michaels, Monday Night Football guy, or Sunday Night Football, does not eat any vegetables, hasn't eaten a vegetable in 30 years.
Any vegetables.
Any vegetables.
So that explains it.
So just like grains, meat, and
I guess,
and fruit, but fruit's okay.
The article didn't mention
that
fruit.
Is wild.
Carbs, baby.
Carbs,
carbs, and meat.
Well, there's plenty of vegetables that have a lot of carbs, like carrots and potatoes.
There are.
And your root vegetable's going to have some carbs.
Give me some gluten. Give me some gluten and some meat.
Well, Ken can have my raisins, and I'll take your guys' anchovies. Because I'll get a glass bottle of anchovies and literally take a fork and just eat them plain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love anchovies, yeah. If I'm having pizza with other people and they don't want anchovies, I'll get a plate on the side and put it on my pizza myself. Okay, so you're looking at the text. Were you listening to our conversation about colognes?
But
it's all running together.
But no, I'm just trying to absorb this text that
male and female peppers.
The male and female peppers, if you view them from the bottom, they either have three or four bumps. Don't know which is which. Well, you should know which gender pepper you're looking at. I mean, come on.
Well, one is for cold use, like salads, and the other is for cooked dishes, apparently, but we'll have to find out which.
I've always preferred male peppers.
Male peppers?
Yes.
Mm. Really? I didn't know you went that way.
All right, then. When it comes to peppers.
You play for that team. So that's why you like Mayor Pete so much.
Hey,
it's
on.
The male peppers.
Stop.
Oh, wow. Look at this for a guy who's dating more than one girl. So we were talking about cologne and perfume. This is from Doc. Also, a cologne tip for guys. If you're seeing more than one lady, give them all the same perfume. Tell them how much you like it so that this way, if you end up smelling like it, you won't be under, she won't notice it. You won't be under suspicion.
Okay. Looks like Doc's got a little experience in this area.
Wow. That's it. Or, your coworker likes hugging aggressively.
Right. Yes, that's it. But,
okay.
But what if, you can give her the cologne, but odds are she has more than the one you gave her.
I agree with that. So we are going to talk about, we'll take a break here and we'll come back in. What do you guys want to talk about first? Was there anything in the news that you guys want to discuss? Is there anything?
Peppers and raisins?
Sure, we can talk more peppers and raisins, some gardening tips.
Maybe a little Mueller report, maybe a little 2020 primaries.
Yeah, you getting excited? I'm waiting a bit. It seems very crowded. Every time I think I want to take a look at the candidates and see what they're up to. My son did read a poll today that Elizabeth Warren is polling the lowest amongst Latinos. And I wonder what the explanation is there. But
well, it was because she claimed she was Latino. Wait, no, sorry, that was Native American. Never mind.
That's all. So, it was an interesting conversation. So we'll talk a little bit about the Mueller report. We might hear from CNN legal analyst Renato Mariotti, who wrote a great piece in Politico.com. He's a former federal prosecutor, so he's got some perspective on gathering evidence and whether or not there was something there. But we'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to hang out with our finally Friday panel with Mike Lieber, Dave Lundy, and Ken Jacobowski on the line. He's in Michigan. Oh, you know, Ken, actually, while I have you on the line, before I go to the break, or maybe when we come back, I did upset a listener last week because, and I mentioned you in the segment, I believe you weren't on. Were you guys on? Was it Friday? I had a muralist in studio, and Ken, she was talking about how she had moved from California to Detroit. And she said, I asked her if she was thinking about moving to Chicago. She goes, no, I love Detroit. I'm going to live there till I die. And I go, oh, really? And I didn't mean to sound dismissive of Detroit. I just have never had a guest. Because you have to understand, a lot of the guests that I interview have moved to Chicago. So I have never had a guest say, and I've interviewed at least 1,000 people, and no one's ever said, I love Detroit. So I think that was, I didn't mean to sound as though, oh my, who could love Detroit? That was not my intention to my friends in Michigan. And I mentioned, Ken, I know you love Detroit, right?
Yeah. But it's a sign of how far Detroit has come. I mean, right now, I think the New York Times recently rated Detroit as the best place to live in the United States.
What? Wow, see? I mean, see, now you have the same sound.
I'm sorry, Ken.
Rents are low, housing prices are low, housing stock is plentiful, jobs are plentiful, the city is developing all over the place, taxes are low.
Yeah, that's all true about Cairo too.
Property taxes in the fairly, I guess you'd call it the bucolic northern suburbs are about one tenth of what we pay in Chicago. I mean, the schools are outstanding. I mean, it's really made a tremendous comeback.
And culturally, I think that was
Detroit.
Yeah. And he was the listener was also. I mean, it was an extensive, passionate letter, and wanted me to have a conversation. And I thought I would try to have one with you, Ken, first, and I will find some guests from Michigan. But I think Tim Allen does a good job of talking at Michigan. He kind of carries that. So,
and the Michigan tourism ads are awesome.
He does a really good job with those. I want to go to Michigan. I do. I love Michigan. Like I said, my surprise was more that it was the first time I'd heard it, and I was reacting to that. More conversation when we come back. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. It's finally Friday. Join our conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. Again, that number, 312-981-7200. Watch for Chicago's very own stories of Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV, news at 9. Someday the off-air conversations will have to be recorded and shared with the audience, but I think we'll move on to the Mueller report. We've got Ken Jacobowski on the line with us. He's the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And I also have Mike Lieber in the studio, the founder, you know, I dropped your card, but the founder of Lieber Law. Lieber Group. What he said. I'll get your card. Hold on a second. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
And we've got Dave Lundy.
The Lieber Law Group, LLC.
Thank you.
And Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. Tell him how long it took me to get yours right. And I still get it wrong sometimes. It's a lot.
So write it all down. I think Patty and I have been on the air together for like, I don't know, 23 years.
You know, it's funny. There's a guest who comes on regularly, Dr. Kathy Tynes. Every time she comes in studio, she gives me the title that she wants me to say on the air. I'm just saying, if you want me to say something the way you want it done, go ahead and write it down and pass it over to me, just like Mike Lieber did, only then I dropped the card. So there you go.
Right.
So anyway, Ken Chukubowski on the line with us. Ken, let's go to you first, since you're sort of riding in the back seat since we don't have you in studio. What were your thoughts when? Well, first let's go to the press conference happened before the Mueller report came out, right?
Correct.
So what were your thoughts as Barr? Usually you text me. You haven't been texting me as much when breaking news happens. Are you afraid to text me? And you're not bothering me when you do that. I love watching the conversation with you guys.
Well, I was very depressed during the Barr press conference because as the Attorney General of the United States, I have grown up to trust what the Attorney General says because I believe that anybody who the Attorney Generals who sit in that seat, save John Mitchell, have operated in the best interests of the United States. And so I watched the press conference, and I was disappointed to see the way he framed certain answers, certain statements. And then I read the report. And, yes, I have read the complete report.
The complete report. And
wow.
That's 400 pages?
Well, I'm at my mother's, and I waited for painters today and for tile guys, and my mom has no television now because I've canceled the TV.
Right.
So I went back to Abraham Lincoln, and I sat in a chair, and I read the whole report. And
candlelight?
No, fortunately, no. I had drapes were pulled. I had natural light, but it is. I got more and more irate as the day went on yesterday, as I heard more and more information about what was included in the report. And now, after reading it, I'm even more irate and even more convinced that President Trump needs to be impeached. There is no doubt. There are two volumes in the report. The first has to do with Russian interference. And the president and the attorney general are correct when they say that there was no collusion. Why is there no collusion? Because Mueller didn't investigate collusion. And he states it in the first, in several paragraphs, he explains how the term collusion is totally inappropriate for what he was doing. He was examining whether there was a conspiracy, and he did not find a conspiracy. Second, in the second volume, which goes through obstruction of justice, anybody who reads that with an open mind, heck, even a half-closed mind, and is halfway intelligent, there is no way you cannot include that the president is guilty of multiple crimes. And I think after what the Democrats need to do is they need to bring all this out into the public. They need to have multiple hearings, bring everybody who's mentioned in the report, subpoena them, get them to testify so the public can actually see and feel what went on here. And then they need to move to impeach. And yes, it's not politically popular because Democrats are concerned that if they impeach and they lose, they don't win in the Senate, or the president will be found not guilty in the Senate, is the proper way of putting it.
Now
that would hurt them electorally. I don't care. They have to do what's right. What's right is to impeach this president.
Now, when Barr made his statements at the press conference, one of the things that he said was that the president was frustrated and angered by a sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. And, you know, Barr goes on to talk about how, you know, and also there's this sort of, directed hatred towards the president. And that it was, that this was unfounded to begin with. As Barr explained, the Mueller report did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those schemes to interact with the Russians.
And that's totally, that's not true. If you read the report, the entire volume, volume one, is littered with collusion on every page. We colluded with them, they colluded with us. We helped them, they helped us. That's what the entire volume reads like. Is it a conspiracy? No. Therefore, no crimes were committed.
Yeah, and
it's
Ken,
collusion on every single page. And as I'm reading this, I'm getting more upset and more upset. And just as I'm getting upset now, and I'm thinking about what Barr said, because the quote, what you just said, that Barr had stated at his press conference about the president's motives, none of that's in the report.
Right.
He made it up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, I think that the distinction that we're drawing here, because I agree with you. If you look at the conduct of the Trump people, what you find is all kinds of incidents where senior people in the Trump campaign leadership are meeting with Russians and cooperating with Russians and leaking to Russians and sharing stuff with Russians. And, you know, the Manafort was the campaign chair when he was meeting with Kilimnik to pass on information to the Russian oligarch who's close to Putin, Deripaska, and passing on polling data and strategy and discussing which are the key battleground states. I mean, that's collusion. They were colluding, but that's not the same thing as saying it was criminal. And I think that what Trump did very effectively over the course of the last 2 years is that he moved the goalposts. You know, a lot of Republicans are saying Democrats are moving the goalposts. No. Trump moved the goalposts from was there this conduct to is it criminal? And since it's not criminal, Trump's saying he's exonerated. Well, that doesn't mean the conduct wasn't there. It doesn't mean there wasn't obstruction. It doesn't mean there wasn't all kinds of conduct. It just means it's not that he did not find it rise to the level of criminality, which does not mean that you're off the hook.
Right. I mean, one of the troubling things in the aftermath is the administration is kind of selling this story of, hey, we won. And to me, it's like, how low have we set the bar now that the president has won if after 2 years we've proven, well, it really seems like he kind of colluded and his team kind of colluded and coordinated and conspired, but maybe not quite close enough over the line that it's criminal. And they probably obstructed, but we don't have the ability to go after him for obstruction because he's a sitting president. So it's like, yeah, he's done all this stuff, and maybe it's not quite over the line, but that's a win for the president. I always thought we held our presidents to a much higher standard than, you know what, they're not actual criminals.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back. And I want to talk about those topics as well as the couple things where the Mueller report found that, you know, they were, you know, interested in getting the information when they met at Trump Tower, but they may not have known that what they were doing was illegal is also in the report. And also want to talk about, you know, the fact that the Department of Justice just has this rule that they won't indict a sitting president. Right. So we'll talk about that. That's one of the reasons that Mueller said he didn't want to wasn't going to exonerate nor bring charges because he didn't want to do something that President Trump would not be able to rush into court.
Which, by the way, was the opposite of what Barr said at his press conference.
So we'll talk about that. And also whether or not the press, talking about this for the last 2 years, you know, actually worked to the benefit of the president by kind of watering this all down because pretty much everything the press has been writing about is in the report. More in a moment. 720 WGN. The 727 says good grief. That's the only commentary they have for us. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Yes.
I don't know why he or she was saying good grief.
Okay, so
what's it in response to?
There is the, now, so my concern tonight, and I, oh no, I totally forgot. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. You know what? We need to make a phone call. I was supposed to talk to Representative Batnick, and the show got away from me. Darn. Sorry, Representative Batnick. I wanted to talk about the fair tax with a Republican. And so what I was about to say is that we missed a couple of guests earlier tonight. They didn't show up, and it's throwing my show off a little bit. I'm pulling back the curtain and apologizing to Representative Batnick. I'm going to text you his number. Can you call him and see if he's going to forgive me?
Absolutely.
Just a moment. So I'll text that to you. But my concern is that we don't have any conservatives on the show tonight. And that is problematic because it's not fair. Let's just put it that way. It's not fair for all of us to, you know, pretty much already be in the corners that, you know, previously were, you know, everyone was in. And no one really changed their minds over the Mueller report or the, you know, nobody with Barr's words. Nobody.
Mike from Indiana.
Yes, Ken?
Yeah. I strongly disagree with what you just said. This is not about conservatives, liberal, independent, gay, straight. This is about being an American. This is about love of our country. This is about the future of our country.
I understand
and
that.
conservatives and Democrats and Republicans and liberals all share a great love for this country. And when you read the report, you will be astounded. I guarantee you, I urge every person out there, my challenge to every listener out there, is to go get wine or your favorite beverage, spend some time over the next week, and read the report. Do your job as a citizen. Read the report. And it is so obviously clear that there was collusion, rampant collusion throughout the campaign. In fact, and it didn't start in 2016, by the way, the Russian interference. It goes all the way back to 2014. But there was collusion with the campaign. There's substantial obstruction of justice. There are currently 14 cases that are secret cases that have been referred out to other U.S. attorneys around the country. We don't know where. Two of them are on the verge of indictment. We don't know what those are about. There are current national security reports that have been filed based on counterintelligence investigations that have been run. And Mueller makes it very clear to Congress that they ought to go and make a request for those memos and those reports for the counterintelligence, because that's not in the report. I mean, you've got, this is the most incredible document I have ever read. And I, like I said, every page I read, I became more and more and more upset about it. And it has nothing to do with policy. It has nothing to do with, if Donald Trump is a Democrat, I'd be saying the same thing. This is about my country, not about the fact that Donald Trump is a Republican.
Right. But I mean, I understand what Patty's saying, because, you know, we're all left of center. And, you know, I've heard people being interviewed over the last, you know, person on the street type interviews who said, look, I know that Donald Trump isn't a good guy. I know that he lies. I know. But you know what? I don't care about any of this. We've heard all this for 2 years.
Right.
I like what the guy is doing. I like his policies. Now, personally, I don't. I think that they're bad. I think that the guy is bad. I completely agree, Ken, that the report is damning. But there are going to be people who are on the other side of the aisle who say, I don't really care what's in the report. I like what the guy's doing.
Well, and the thing is, again, and maybe we'll get some listeners who want to join us in the conversation, whether it's to, you know, let us know that, and if there's anybody that changed their mind, and I doubt, and I could be wrong, that changed their mind as a result of the conversations that have been having this week, whether it was Barr's press conference or Mueller's report, maybe you thought there was going to be a smoking gun in the Mueller report, and since there isn't, you're like, oh, then this was all a hoax, but you thought that it was going to come to fruition.
Right, but there are smoking guns. There's, like, hundreds of pages of smoking guns.
But because people already knew about a lot of this.
448 pages of smoking gun, to be exact. This is not what we've all read in the media these last 18 months, or however long it's been since this all started.
So I want to urge my panel.
It's trumped by what's in the report.
I want to urge my panel, I encourage listeners who disagree with the panel to give us a call, and I want everyone to know that we're not going to jump on anybody and let them state their case as to why they, you know, believe Barr and the president when it comes to their understanding and description of the Mueller report. Hey, Charles, how are you doing?
Hey, Ken, I'm pretty good.
You're not Charles. This is Joe.
That's Joe.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Okay, you want to take somebody else instead?
No. It's all right. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I was actually just about to ask, well, what about Joe?
I know. I was wondering. All right, Joe, so what'd you think about it? Now, again, I'm urging everyone to be kind to each other. Go ahead.
Sure, you betcha. I'll be very diplomatic here. Bill Barr has a irrepressible, reputation over the last 35 years. Every judicial body in the United States classifies him as a number one judicial person. Credentials out the gazoo,
okay,
if you will.
All right.
So this reminds me, Jigabowski reminds me of my definition. I've mentioned this before in this program, of what an expert is for people that perceive themselves to be an expert. X is an unknown quantity, and a spurt is a drip of water under pressure. Now, Ken, I think, presumes that he's going to take over after a 2.5 year developmental procedure.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to, be judgmental about the one-sided story that is presented by Mueller and that's been divulged so far. Giuliani and, you know, three other people are developing other reports which are going to present the opposite viewpoint. So I'd advise Ken to sit back, relax, well, have a toddy, if you will, and see the whole picture.
Right, but have you read every page of the report, of the Mueller report?
Or any page?
I have not.
Okay. Oh. Well, so he's not necessarily saying, I mean, he has a law degree, but not necessarily in prosecutorial, you know, knowledge. But Renato Mariotti has also written a great article, but Ken has read every single page, so that's what he's going off, is what he has read, the information that's provided there. And then if you get a chance, I would then also encourage you to sit back and read the obstruction case against Trump that Barr tried to hide, written by former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti, if you have an opportunity.
Okay, one final comment, then I'll give up. There's three other reports, as I mentioned. Giuliani is writing a rebuttal, if you will, because this report from... the report that's out right now is a one-sided picture. It's 12, a total of 14 Democrat people.
No.
Do you think Mueller's a Democrat? Do you think?
What? Pardon me?
Mueller's not a Democrat.
Mueller's not a Democrat.
She's a rhino. I don't know what the reverse is for Democrats.
That's not the same.
That's mincing words. That's parsing words.
You can't use it. No, it's sorry, Joe. Joe, I got to put you in the penalty box. I don't know if I got it in time. I couldn't find the button.
Yeah. You miss that button.
I think I'd rather have the echo than the language.
I didn't even hear what he said.
Can I just make one point to Joe? So, Joe, I hear what you're saying about the Mueller is giving a one-sided report. But he's reporting facts that were said by people like Don McGahn, the White House counsel. He was reporting...
John McGahn has been accounted a couple, three times for misstating facts.
What?
McGahn has
He interviewed McGahn for 30 hours.
Uh-huh.
And McGahn retold the story, numerous stories. And by the way, McGahn brought evidence. He brought documents. He brought emails. I mean, there literally are pages and pages and pages of what McGahn brought. I mean, the problem that you have with trying to discredit the report, and the problem that Giuliani is going to have, and all the Trump supporters are going to have, is these are just facts.
Hey, Joe. Yeah. Joe, this is Mike. You mentioned that McGahn misstated facts, right?
Yes.
You don't like when people misstate facts, right?
Can I add one thing, and then I'll let me just
ask you a couple questions.
Sure, go ahead.
You don't like when people misstate facts, right?
If they got it correctly, yes.
Okay.
If they got it correctly, it was misstated.
Has Trump, as president, ever misstated facts?
Oh, you betcha.
Okay.
Have I? Yes.
Okay, there you go. We're all on the same page. Excellent. Joe, I got to go because I've got a commercial, and I've got other listeners who are on hold as well. And we'll come back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will.
We are talking about the Mueller report. It is finally Friday. I save all the headlines, the bigger political headlines of the week, and we talk about them. You know, as we wind down in the weekend, we have a little bit of fun. In a while, we'll play What's That From? You'll have a chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. Actually, I have a month of a workout membership to also give away tonight. There's a new place in Old Town that you want to check out, so we'll find out more about that in just a little bit. We have in studio with us Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron Communications, Michael Lieber, who is the founder of Lieber Law Group, and on the line with us is Ken J. Kubowski, the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And I wanted to make sure that this is a place where we can have a conversation regardless of where we are politically. It does tend that my panel is left of center, as Michael Lieber pointed out. And so, Jim, there's an article by one of the contributors to CNN you wanted us to check out, and we actually took a look. So go ahead, Jim. Which article?
Yes, it's Scott Jennings, I believe, was the author. And I think, you know, obviously he's a Republican, you know, commentator and things.
Right.
But it was on the CNN website this afternoon, and it said that the Mueller report made the Obama administration look bad because of their inaction, because, you know, the Mueller report says that the Russian interference started back in 2014.
Right.
and that this author that authored the article believes that you know, Obama may have, the administration may have gone softer on Putin and not taken a hard stance against them because of their desire for his cooperation with the Iranian arms deal.
Right. Yeah, and then
nuclear deal. I'm
right.
Sorry.
I mean, the right, the part that he says that the report makes him look bad is the absence of more action on the behalf of Obama's you know, administration.
Right.
But as you mentioned, it does. He says, why did, this is what Jennings writes, why did Obama go soft on Russia? My opinion is that it was because of what you just mentioned.
Opinion.
Yeah. No, I think it's, and I think a lot of people wish that he had done more. But
I do.
I've just never, I've never seen that anywhere. And then they said something toward the end. He said, again, it's one person's opinion, apparently.
Right.
But he said that he was wondering why, you know, if they may have started the collusion, you know, I think he called it a smokescreen or something, may have started the collusion dialogue or whatever to kind of divert attention away from that. And so
right. Well,
it was the first time I've heard anything that was really critical of the Obama administration related to this at all. I was wondering folks' opinion on that.
As the president of the United States, Trump could now say that he wants an investigation as to why President Obama didn't do more. I mean, that's an option for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as somebody who is a supporter of President Obama, but also has been very critical of him at times, including it when at the beginning of ISIS, I think that he was often predisposed to inaction when action would have been more appropriate. So, and I'm not sure that the FBI didn't take action. I mean, they took action. They started the investigation. They it's the reason they got the FISA court warrant on Carter Page because of what they saw. But it's, you know, was it enough? Should they have done more? Absolutely.
And I understand why, in the summer of 2016, when a lot more of this was coming to light. I know it started in 2014, but, you know, the major stuff in the summer of 2016, what Obama and his folks have said is, hey, we didn't want to put our thumb on the scale of this upcoming election, which was just a few months off. And I get that. And I think that's appropriate. I also am, I think, in the minority on the left of saying, I think it was actually appropriate for James Comey 11 days before the election to come out and say, hey, we have found some new information that we're investigating as it relates to Hillary Clinton's emails, the stuff that they found on Anthony Weiner's
computer.
Right. Because, you know, he said, look, if we found something that was really damning and we didn't say anything and she gets elected, everybody's going to think that she's an illegitimate president.
Right.
So I think the best... I think they both acted right.
There you go. Jim, thank you so much for calling that piece to our attention. I think it's a good point. Ken, what were your thoughts? I didn't want to leave you out of that conversation.
You know, it started in 2014, and so you have to lay it at the feet of the Obama administration. They have to take their share of the blame for this. But the Obama administration, there's not one shred of evidence that they colluded with Russians to affect the outcome of our elections.
Right. Well, there you go. By the way, guess who's on the line? We have Jasmine on the line joining the conversation. Hey, Jasmine, thank you for calling.
How you doing tonight?
We're doing good. How about yourself?
I'm in a good mood, just waiting for Sunday so I can break out the baseball stuff.
Nice. I love it. So,
yesterday, I have never listened to so much news in one day in my life.
Oh, really? Were you waiting for the Mueller report? Yep.
Yeah, I was following the live coverage on NPR.
Uh-huh.
And I was also trying to find it online because I really want to read some of it for myself, but
sure.
I don't really know where to go to look for that.
Ken, where can she find it online?
Go to if you do a search for the report, you'll find links. Several of the news organizations have links to the full document. You can also go and read it on the Justice Department frankly, I don't trust what's on the Justice Department.
Fair.
I mean, I honestly, it's shocking for me even to say that.
All right.
And it's stunning. But I would just go, many of the news organizations have links that direct to the report.
I'll find a link and I'll send it to you, okay, Jasmine?
Thank you, but can I give my thoughts real quick?
Of course.
So from the little bits that I heard on the radio, I personally think that Trump is still very, very guilty of messing with the 2016 election. And there was one clue that was read live on the air that was kind of a big red flag to me. It said that apparently when this investigation started, Trump slumped down in his chair and said, "Oh my God, this is the end of my presidency. I'm blanked." You can guess what the blank was.
Right.
You know, you don't say stuff like that unless you know you did something wrong.
I've thought about this, Jasmine. I also think that that's kind of explainable, though, whereas in the sense that you could say, now here's a bunch of people who are out to get me, right? I'm effed because it's a witch hunt. They're going to do everything they can to throw, you know, all kinds of stuff at me. So as not somebody that would hopefully be in that position, but I think that you could explain that one away. Don't you think, guys?
I'm not sure.
I'm effed? You could say they're going to get me. I mean, the way he could do it and the way he is doing it is that's what that meant.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're driving on the highway and you're driving the speed limit and all of a sudden you know that you don't have any taillights out or anything like that, and all of a sudden you see some sirens behind you, you're not going to say, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy is after me. I'm blanked.
Unless you are of a different race, you might think that you are effed. Right.
Well, that's true.
Right. So
that
would be a perception. So the perception of I'm just saying the perception of who you are and what the people coming after you.
And Donald Trump is of the orange race.
As you were saying I'm like, this could, you know, you could also in your mind go, because I'm black, or
you're absolutely right.
So that interesting. I don't know why my mind went there, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jasmine, can you hold on through the news? I don't want to cut you off right now because I have to go to the break. Okay.
Yeah, I can wait.
Cool. More after this on 720 WGN. It is suddenly Saturday. It was finally Friday. And then, like magic, the clap. By the way, what a beautiful moon tonight.
It was a full.
Are we in a full moon?
So I checked.
Yes.
Because my son insisted it was not a full moon as I pointed it out. And he said, no, that's a waning gibbous. And I went and I pulled the app, mm-hmm. and it said it was 99.2% full.
And your son's going to call you on that?
But.
Yeah.
It was a waning gibbous.
A waning gibbous.
Waning gibbous, but 99.2.
So was it full last night?
No, it was full at 6 this morning.
Oh.
So, I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, Max, sorry, dude. It was a full moon.
The father of the astronomer, that's Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, regular contributor here at WGN Radio. Mike Lieber, who's the founder of the Lieber Law Group, got it to memory there, and also contributor here at WGN Radio. Ken Jacobowski, our other contributor, president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. And Jasmine, a listener texted in because you were wondering where to read the report. Two things. One, a listener says that the 630 says the Mueller report will be available in paperback form on April 30th. I don't know if you want to wait that long, but you can pre-order it. And I also think yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, even if I wouldn't mind having it in paper, but it would have to be Braille.
Right.
So that's why I'm trying to do it online, so I can use the voiceover on my phone and read it that way.
Because I know Amazon will also be doing, they're trying to rush a audio version of it as well.
Well, I know if you just Google Mueller report or full Mueller report or Mueller report PDF, but I don't know if your voice machines will translate a PDF.
Right. So because the versions of it that I've got, like in the middle for each volume, you have to hit read more in order to get the rest of that section. Mm. So I'll send that to you. I don't know if it'll work for you. I'll try to find a different version. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm still going to make sure I at least try to look, because I want to, you know, get some of this information, you know, for myself, not just hearing what other people read.
Sure. I agree. That's what we all should
good call.
Try to do. But I don't have that kind of time this weekend.
I also want to mention that I'm glad that it came out. I just wish it wasn't mostly redacted, because now I'm thinking, what are they hiding from us?
Well, Ken, how much of it is redacted?
Boy, it's hard to say. Let me just address the last point that Jasmine made. 60. This is not a number that I came up with, but one of the news organizations today says that 69% of the redactions have to do with the 14 secret criminal cases that are currently either being investigated or are ready to be, where indictments are about to be announced. So they're not hiding much. In fact, I was surprised with how much was actually in the report, and I suspect as the next week or two goes by, we're going to see more of this report.
Well, it's good to know that they're not hiding too many secrets.
Go ahead.
I think it was because there was a, I forgot it was the Wall Street Journal or somebody did a visual representation of the entire 448-page report, including which parts were blacked and which weren't. It looked like between 5 and 10% were redacted. Mm. So less than I expected.
Yeah, and reading through it, and incidentally, Dave, before it came out, posted on Facebook, he was kind of taking people's guesses of what percent. And I guessed 5%. And I think most people guessed a lot higher. Looking at it, and I only read the first 60 or so pages, and there were some pages that had a lot of redactions. There were some that had none, or maybe just a couple of words or a line. It didn't seem to me that the redactions really were being done to hide bad stuff. So
mostly those were being interviewed in the grand jury information and things like that.
Yeah. So I will actually give the attorney general the benefit of the doubt here, where it seems like the redactions appear to be appropriate.
Hey, Jasmine, I just sent you a link for the NPR. Actually, had a full version that might work for you. So I sent you a link. Let me know if that works. Okay.
All right, I'll message you back and tell you what I find.
Okay, cool.
And of course, thanks for letting me chat tonight.
Of course, Jasmine. Great to hear from you.
And real quick, I'm sorry for that random question on Twitter. Oh. I was watching clips of SNL and thinking, why isn't Patty on there?
Whether or not I've ever auditioned for Saturday Night Live? There's a couple of reasons, but the major one is that was never a goal for me. As a stand-up comic, I had a different plan in mind. A lot of comics who train to be sketch comics and improv comics, and also one of the hard things for me, and I know it's hard for everyone to believe, was that when I did study improv and sketch, there's a lot of music involved. If you watch Saturday Night Live, there's a lot of singing, and I never wanted to have to be put on the spot. I mean, I tried to do like character voices and things like that. It was never something I was passionate about as much as I was doing monologues. Now, there are some stand-up comics that go to Saturday Night Live. Of course, one of the most famous being Eddie Murphy. Chris Rock was on Saturday Night Live for a while. And but again, it's not my skill set to have ever gone after that.
All right, I was just curious and wanted to ask.
I'm glad you did.
Good question.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I always want. When I started, I dreamt of being on. Here's how long ago I started was Johnny. I think Johnny Carson had just finished. So like the kind of thing that I envisioned, it was always I had hoped to sell a sitcom, and I have. It just didn't get produced, but we went all the way through ABC, and that was that was what I had envisioned, and now I'm taking a different path. That's all.
All right.
Thanks, Jasmine.
I'm glad it worked for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to be right. I knew my family was crazy. Have a good night, Jasmine.
You all have a good weekend.
Happy Easter, Jasmine.
Happy Easter, Jasmine.
One of the things that we were going to talk about as well is Michael wanted to discuss impeach or not impeach. To impeach.
Yeah. My feeling is even if there is enough to impeach, I kind of disagree with Ken, and I want to get his take. And this is not on a, is it the right thing to do? Is it the appropriate legal thing to do? And I'm a lawyer. I'm not a criminal lawyer, but I'm a lawyer. But as somebody who's left of center, from a political standpoint, I think it's a mistake. Because, number one, we know it's going to fail in the Senate. They might impeach in the House, mm-hmm. but they're never going to convict with, 66 votes or...
Seven.
It'll be
67 votes.
It'll be an exercise in futility, is
right.
What you're saying.
Yes. Right. But if you look what the Republicans did with Hillary, which is keep her under investigation the whole time with Benghazi, that's what hurt her. So all you do is, for the next year and a half, keep Trump under investigation, and there's a big question mark hanging over his head. So from a political standpoint, I think it's better to just investigate and not impeach.
Ken? Sorry, Dave. If I go 1, 2, 3. Is that right?
I think from a strategic perspective, it is never good to, we've learned, certainly the Republicans learned the hard way, that it's never good to impeach a president when you have no chance to win in the Senate because it really hurts you politically. But in this case, the crimes are so over the top. We have to make a statement as a country that a president cannot engage in this behavior. Now Mueller gave, he writes about this. There are two options. Because the Justice Department cannot be involved. That's the policy, and frankly, it makes sense. He writes a lot about it in the report. And I agree with the policy of the Justice Department that a sitting president can't be indicted. It is for Congress to make that decision. And the avenue that they have in front of them is impeach. They could also censure, which is something that was discussed with Clinton, but I don't see that being an option here. But what Mueller also talks about in the report, what he hints at very strongly, is that the president can be charged with a crime when he leaves office. And he makes it very clear that no president that engages behavior that they have evidence of should get away with this. So I think whether the impeachment ultimately would be successful in the Senate, I think you need to impeach anyway from a historical perspective. And I disagree. I do think that there still is a chance of getting 67 votes in the Senate. You tell me that the Republicans, after all this obstruction of justice and evidence is laid out in front of the American people on the floor of the United States Senate in a trial, you tell me that they're going to vote in favor of obstruction of justice. I'm not so sure that they will. I think that the Republicans will be put in an extremely difficult position if this goes to a trial in the Senate.
Hey, Ken, other than Mitt Romney, can you name me a Republican senator who has come out after the Mueller report and broadly condemned Donald Trump's conduct as identified in the Mueller report?
I think the point Dave is making is Dave.
Oh, you
Dave
caught I was making the point? Yeah.
Yes, Dave and I have had many discussions about this, and I agree at this point in time, not enough groundwork has been laid to impeach the president successfully. There need to be hearings. All of what's in the Mueller report needs to be now put on television so people can see it through congressional hearing, and we are going to get that over the next several months. At that point, I believe the groundwork will be laid. The public will be more accepting of it. By the way, an overnight Reuters poll in President Trump's popularity has now dipped to 37%.
Interesting.
So Ken,
So the answer is no one other than Mitt Romney. But I do believe, Dave, this is not going to be in the floor of the Senate. The definition of is not going to be debated.
Right.
This will be clear and convincing of serious obstruction of justice with Don McGahn and all these witnesses, including Bob Mueller, testifying at a trial. And if you're a Republican senator, you don't want that to happen. So my best guess is that the House will impeach, and before it comes to trial in the Senate, Trump cuts a deal, immunity for himself and for his family, and he's gone. And that it saves the country of a trial. He preserves, and it saves the Republicans in the Senate. That's where I think ultimately this is going to go, and I'd be more than happy to put my money up on that.
$500.
Wow.
Right here.
Oh, I'm not. No, we can't. Wait. I don't think we can.
Yeah, I was going to say,
sorry.
$500 Monopoly bucks.
You could give me the $500. You never paid me for the bet I made with you about whether Barack Obama was going to be president of the United States in December of 2016, Ken. Anyway.
For historical purposes, for any law enforcement officials listening, we never wagered on anything. It was a friendly,
what are you doing?
Friendly
way. Roger,
well,
if Roger,
you don't
do you
pay,
see these,
does it still count?
Do you see these two getting me in trouble on the air?
I'm staying out of this.
Exactly.
So, newsman, I have to be impartial.
Yes.
Children, go right ahead. You're in a padded room over there. That's fine.
hey, Ken, I have a question for you. Did you see the New York Post cover yesterday?
Yes, I did.
The one that said, Trump clean, Dem hoax destroyed, no crimes committed.
Correct. And I also watched Fox today, and I saw a couple of nut jobs on Fox talking about how this is why they're nut jobs. They make the case that if Mueller had the evidence, he would have indicted. No, he wouldn't. He makes it clear he could never indict.
It says that in the investigation.
Yeah, he never even went there.
He can't. Yeah,
it never was even an option. Yeah, never even an option.
It's a rule with the DOJ that they.
Yeah,
won't.
But Ken, you're expecting the Fox people to read past page two.
Okay,
is where it's written. Let me just be very clear on the
impeachment. I have to go to a break. My producer just told me the engineers in the booth, everyone's watching me not go to the break on time, and you guys are name calling a little bit. Just if you disagree with the folks on Fox News, that's fine. We can keep it civil. Right? Okay, more after this on 720 WGN. This week on Chicago's Best, no silverware allowed at the table. Chicago's Best is grabbing a tortilla and loads of meat and toppings. It's Chicago's Best Tacos, Sunday at 10 on WGN TV. Now, because that is a WGN live read, I feel okay saying that. I'm not sure how I feel about saying that when you eat Mexican food, you don't use silverware. Because when you get tacos, it comes on a plate with rice and beans and maybe a little bit of a salad there, some shredded lettuce. So you need silverware. I don't know why you would say you don't need silverware for tacos.
All right, you need silverware for the rice and the beans, yes, but nobody eats their burrito with a knife and a fork, right?
I do.
Agreed.
I do.
We talked about this a couple days ago, actually.
The first time, we are in studio, in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we'll turn our attention to some food. We've been talking about the Mueller report, and I think this is a nice diversion. When I was visiting I didn't grow up eating burritos. It's not necessarily a thing. It's more of a Tex-Mex dish. So my mom made like chilaquiles, and you know, we had a lot of great Mexican dishes, but not necessarily burritos. So the first time I remember eating a burrito with my mom, I was visiting the University of Illinois, and we went to La Bamba, which is where they have burritos as big as
burritos as big as your head.
And so we were sitting there. My mom rolled it over to the part where you started unfolding it. And got, you know, and would use parts of the tortilla to like pick up pieces of it, and also use a knife and fork to eat parts of it. And so that's how I still eat. I don't, unless I'm somewhere I can't sit down to eat. I mean, I'll walk and eat it like a.
Oh, so you'll just straight up,
it's a sub sandwich.
You will straight up unroll it.
Yeah, we'll unroll it or cut into it or.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes, cutting a burrito and eating it with fork and knife would be tough, but we this is my mom does that.
I'm sitting here just in disbelief.
Unimaginable. I don't order burritos very often either. Yes?
So I have a confession to make.
Yes.
I eat pizza, thin crust pizza, with a knife and fork.
What is happening?
And is not only disgusting. That, but when I go to Manny's and I get a sandwich, mm-hmm. like a turkey pastrami sandwich, I will eat the turkey pastrami with a fork, and I won't eat the bread.
Why would you do that?
Because you could put the brown spicy mustard on the turkey pastrami, and then just eat it, and it's really
you know you
good
can put it on the bread too. What is wrong with you people?
I agree. I Ken, are you equally appalled at Dave Lundy and me?
No, I eat my burritos and enchiladas with a spoon.
What?
A spoon? This just gets weirder and weirder.
But I do not eat pizza with a knife and a fork.
Okay, the burritos and enchiladas I eat with a straw.
Okay.
This is why God gave us a mouth. That's all you need.
Well, apparently mine's not as big as yours if you could handle those burritos.
Wow. What just happened? Roger, do you get to weigh in on this conversation?
That would be a negative.
But there's no criminal involvement here with a knife and a fork and pizza.
I'm trying to think.
Now one eats their meals with whatever utensils or digits that they choose is an act unto itself that is covered by no laws that I know of in the entire universe.
So Roger is actually saying that because I've seen him eat burritos with his toes.
Okay. Yeah. That's
an I didn't think we were going to go into that. But
speaking of eating, you know what? As I mentioned earlier, I have a prize to give away to the third caller at 312-981-7200. Just need caller number 3, and we have a one-month membership. Hold on, let me pull up the information so that you have it available so you know what you're getting. Want to make sure that you can use it. So this is a one-month membership to the Row House Old Town. It's a boutique
It's a boutique fitness rowing studio. The grand opening is April 26th through the 28th, and the first 100 folks that show up to get a membership get 10% off. Book a class at therowhouse.com or call 312-819-2333. The membership is valued at $209, and the first studio is located at 1226 North Wells in Old Town, with 9 more studios that are planned for the Chicagoland area. So caller number 3, you will win a month-long membership to Row House Old Town, a boutique rowing studio. So 312-981-7200 to win that. Just all you have to do is be caller number 3. Yes?
And it's on North Wells, and which means right after they're done, they can go to get some sushi at like Kamahachi. And I assume that you guys eat your sushi with a knife and a fork,
no,
right?
I use my chopsticks.
Okay, good.
I
don't like sushi.
I was once complimented by the sushi chef for how well he was surprised at how I don't know what my appearance would make him believe that I couldn't use my chopsticks, but he was very impressed. And I was like, okay.
I eat rice with the chopsticks.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's
grain at a time.
That's right.
You know what else chopsticks are good for? Stirring cocktails, I find. Because I have so many in my house from carryout. I've got to stop eating carryout.
I also use it to kind of tie up my long hair.
Very fun. Ken, are you also skilled with the chopsticks?
Never. Fork and a spoon.
What? Was it for
or my fingers. Oh. You know, a lot of sushi stuff, you can, you know, you eat with fingers, and you just pick it up and down the hatch it goes. But when something other than fingers are required, it's a fork and a spoon.
When we go to a Chinese or Japanese restaurant and my wife asks for a fork, a little piece of me dies inside.
What about if your kids do that?
A smaller piece, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my kids I'll give a fork to, but I try to teach them to use the chopsticks. But, yeah, no, I prefer to use the chopsticks. I feel, you know, humiliated if I go to am at a Japanese restaurant and I'm asking for a fork. That just seems like, you silly American.
Like you give up. Yes, Ken?
Yeah.
I've never understood why chopsticks with either Chinese, Japanese, I just don't understand it. I mean, why? Why put yourself through eating? Just eat it with a fork and a spoon. It's the easiest thing in the world. Why eat it with chopsticks? It's very hard to eat with chopsticks.
Let's see. In ancient times, chopsticks were called zhu. At that time, Chinese ancestors liked to steam or boil food. It was difficult for them to use spoons to dip vegetables in the soup, so they cleverly invented these to nip food. Thus, it became the most convenient tableware in their lives.
So, well, spoons have evolved since then.
I understand. They did this by discovering that using two twigs is better for reaching into pots of full of hot water or oil rather than using your hands or fingers. The earliest version of Chinese chopsticks was used for cooking about 6,000 to 9,000 years ago. So I don't know why they stopped that, but I like doing it. It makes me feel like I have a different skill set.
So you can say those who eat Chinese or Japanese food with a knife and a spoon have evolved.
More after this on 720 WGN. Ken's words, not mine. It's time for What's That From? We'll read a scene from a classic movie and perhaps create a situation in which you can never watch the movie again without thinking of us, and that's not a bad thing. Oh, Ken dropped the line. Ken, we didn't have a scene for any lines for Ken, so he's departed us. In studio is Dave Lundy. We have Mike Lieber behind the glass. Vivian Leneau is our producer this evening.
Hello, hello.
Roger Badish in the newsroom.
I'm getting my script together.
Yes, sir. I just handed them to everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Dave
By
Lundy.
The way, can...
Yes.
Yes, you could change names.
Well, this is even going to be more fun.
So when you know what scene we are reading a movie from, it's your chance to give us a call, 312-981-7200. Usually people call in while we're reading, so if you know, don't hesitate, and you'll be in the queue to, and I'll take the order, the calls in the order that they come. So 312-981-7200 when you know. What's that from? Take it away, Roger.
And just a quick question,
yes,
are we going to be just referring to the governor as governor as opposed to his full name to not fully give it away?
Sure.
Yes.
You
Sure.
Take creative license in any way you choose.
Excellent.
For this situation.
And if we are all starting on page 23, is that
bottom.
Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, at the bottom.
46A.
Interior. Camera pulls back. That one, right?
Here we go. Interior, governor's office. The camera pulls back to reveal a smoke-filled room. Governor is at one end of the table, flanked by his voluptuous, crimson-haired secretary, and the governor, what is he, a lawyer?
The attorney general.
The attorney general. The governor is a silver-haired, silver-tongued moron. Other PM men at the table are state officials, politicians, ward healers, etc. Governor shoves a paper in attorney general. Shoves a paper. One of those guys shoves a paper in front of the governor.
Sign this, governor.
What is it?
Where's the governor? Oh, thank you.
Under the provisions of this bill, the Cheyenne Nation would give us 200,000 square acres of their land, which we have deemed unsafe for their use at this time.
Oh, wonderful. What are we giving them in return?
A box of these.
The attorney general takes out Hi-Li paddle and displays it.
Seems like a fair exchange. You could save one of those beauties for me. Woo woo.
Of course, sir. If you'll just sign here.
And the attorney general then takes the governor's right hand and guides it through the signature. A small herd of cattle passes through his office.
Mm. Work, work, work. What's next?
Just one more bill for you to sign.
What is it?
This is the bill that will convert the State Hospital for the Insane into the Governor's Memorial Gambling Casino for the Insane.
Do you get the feeling I've never seen this movie? This bill will
Wait, you've never seen this movie?
She is in so much trouble.
Oh, my God.
This bill will be a giant step forward in the treatment of the insane gambler.
Beautifully put. No wonder they call you the Silver-Tongued Orator.
Thank you, Hetty.
It's not Hetty, Governor. It's Attorney General.
What are you worried about? This is 1874. You can sue her.
Just sign here.
Watch the ends. Watch the ends. Cross the T. Cross the T. If you don't cross the T, it looks like a big L, and you get La Pelamane. Is that it?
God. Just this urgent telegram from Rock Ridge that came in last Friday.
Read it. Read it.
Sheriff
Wild. Wild. I can't call her that.
Beep. Sheriff murder. Church meeting bombed. Sending you sheriff immediately.
Harumph. Harumph. Murdering sheriffs, bombing churches, innocent women and children blown up. Normally I wouldn't give a damn, but this is an election year and we've got to protect our phony baloney jobs.
There is General Hubbub at the conference
harumph.
Table.
Harumph, 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 harumph.
Gentlemen, please rest your sphincters. As Attorney General, I assure you a suitable sheriff will be found to restore the peace in Rock Ridge. Meeting adjourned. Oh, excuse me, Governor. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
Oh, it is.
No, Governor, you say that.
What?
Never mind.
Lamar leaves.
Good man, but he's nervous. Tall people are very nervous. Too far from the earth. Give me one of those things, will you, sweetheart?
And the lady hands him a Hi-Li paddle, does four swipes at the ball, misses every time.
These are defective.
Throws it back into the box and leaves. Interior, Attorney General's office. He's pacing up and down.
A sheriff. But law and order is the last thing I want. Perhaps I could turn this to my advantage. If I could find a sheriff who so offends the citizens of Rockridge that his very appearance would drive them out of town. But where would I find such a man?
We hear the noises of a commotion. Attorney General goes to the window and looks down. Exterior, gallows. Bart is being led to the front of a long line of men waiting to be hanged.
Hey, what's going on? I'm next.
Men ad-lib. Ad-lib.
Hey, wait, get out of my way.
Perhaps we better wait. After all, they were here before me.
Guard pushes Bart up the steps. He mounts the steps to the scaffold. Boris places a noose around his neck. Can I do no, Boris?
Yes, I guess, right?
Sure.
Would you care for a blindfold or an after tender mint?
No, thank you. Do you have anything in the way of a reprieve?
Sorry.
In accordance with the ordinance signed by John Mordnance, the prisoner is to be hanged by his neck to pay for subordinance. If the prisoner has no last words, we'll proceed with the hanging.
Hang him!
Boris reaches for the lever.
Wait, wait! Last words, last words. If you don't mind, I'd like to have a brief chat with my maker before I meet him in person.
Of course.
Bart whips off his hat.
Let us bow our heads in prayer, O Lord. I don't know why I'm being hung, but it really doesn't matter.
He slowly slips the noose from around his neck.
Because sooner or later, all who walk upright must take up a long nap.
He surreptitiously edges his way down the steps and quietly makes his way through the courtyard. No one sees him because all heads are bowed in prayer.
Yea, verily, the leaves that are green in the spring must sooneth or later turneth browneth in the falleth. It is with love, not hatred, that I make my way toward the pearly gates of everlasting freedom.
He is almost out of the courtyard when suddenly, into the frame, pressed against his head, is the long silver barrel of a six-shooter. The camera pulls back to reveal it's being held by the Attorney General.
Oh, no one wants to read that last line?
I don't have that page.
Beautifully put.
Oh, sorry. Hold on a second.
Beautifully put.
Here, finish it off. Finish it off.
And that's it. And scene.
Omitted.
No, it's right. You did it. All right, fine.
Beautifully put. I'd like to have a word with you. Do you have a moment?
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we have officially ruined that movie for time eternal for anyone who wants to see the movie. What movie have we have we ruined once and for all? 847?
Hi.
Hi.
No, it's Blazing Saddles.
Yay.
How did you ever guess?
Rock Ridge, really?
What's your name?
It's Judy. I live in Niles.
Judy. Oh, I love Niles over by there. We're big fans of Niles and Leaning Tower Y and all those great places. Have a great weekend. We're going to hold on the line, and Vivian will get your information and send out a gift card for Apt Electronics.
Thank you.
Thank you. And make sure you say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro when you stop by, or you can go to abt.com. By the way, Ken, if you're still listening, go ahead and give us a call back, because we're going to talk about the 2020 candidates, because Mike Lieber's been waiting the entire show to talk about the 2020 candidates. And I want to make sure everyone knows that Apt Electronics has been pleasing people since 1936. You can visit their store in Glenview or go online at abt.com. And again, don't forget to say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro. So who do you like? Who are you liking for 20? So there's about, how many are there now? Swalwell?
I believe we're up to kind of 17 major people and a couple of, you know, kind of minor quasi-candidates. And it sounds like next week now they say Biden is going to get in.
Who?
I thought he wasn't going to. I thought there's a possibility he realizes that it's not in the cards.
Tonight I saw some stories that basically he's told people it's going to happen next week.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, look, things could change. But, you know, I was riding with Biden in 2015. I worked on the organization that tried to draft him. He didn't run. Still like him a lot. But ever since January, I've been pounding the table for Mayor Pete before his, you know, kind of explosion where he's become very, very popular. And I really think that he is kind of the exact opposite of Donald Trump. And I think he could win. And one of the, you know, there are people who are taking all sorts of different lanes. You've got the progressive lane. You've got the Green New Deal lane. You've got this lane, that lane. And the lane that he's taking is the authentic lane.
Okay.
The guy who actually answers the question that's asked, who sounds like he's heartfelt, who's, you know, experienced. He's young, admittedly. He's the mayor of a, you know, relatively small city. But mayors and governors get things done.
Yeah. Well, now, Ken and Dave, we had this conversation a few weeks ago, as Michael was just saying that, by the way, Ken, that is you, right? I just pushed the button and assumed that you were calling back. Ken?
Yes. I am here.
Hi. So I'll say the same thing I mentioned before, which is I get it that he's the opposite of Trump, and that's something that Dave and Ken have said, you know, basically the opposite of Trump is what we want, or what a lot of people want. I don't think that's good enough. I don't think because a lot of people do like what has happened under the Trump administration. They may not like him. They may not like what he says. Like Joe was saying that, you know, that President Trump misspeaks. I think it goes beyond that. But you know, people look at the economy. Unless something drastic happens in the next 2 years, I don't think that not Trump is good enough. I don't think the opposite of Trump is good enough. I honestly believe that. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I agree. I agree with you.
I figured Ken would want to get in because he's a big Mayor Pete fan.
Oh, you're also a Mayor Pete fan?
No.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
And why is that?
He has no chance to win.
Based
and I want to win.
Okay.
And I also am not sure I want the country governed, to Patty's point, by a 37-year-old mayor of South Bend, Indiana. I've been through with experimenting.
Well, I think we're much better.
Experience. Let him run for governor. Let him win governor in Indiana or something else. You know, I mean, come on. It's South Bend, Indiana, for God's sakes. You're going to go from there to running the entire world?
I think we're much better off being run by an 87-year-old vice president with a penchant for touching people.
87? He's not 87.
No, he's 78. Isn't he 78?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a transposition. No, yeah, he is 78, Ken. He'll be 78 if he assumes office. It's too old.
Well, let me say this, because, you know, you've got mayors. People were talking about Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, possibly running. Bill de Blasio in New York, mayor, is talking about running. I would argue that guys who are, you know, folks who are the mayors of these enormous cities who have 20 deputy mayors do a lot less kind of on-the-ground work than a mayor of a city that's 102,000, 103,000 people. And I would also argue that mayors and governors get things done. You know, we talk about no experience. Barack Obama was a state senator for 6 years and a U.S. senator. The size of his offices pales in comparison to the number of people who the mayor of a 102,000-person city runs. So,
Mike, under that logic, let's run an alderman for president. Which alderman? How about Brookings? Let's go find somebody who can run for president.
Oof.
Well,
I mean, seriously,
he has a point there, Mike.
Well, I mean, the aldermen actually don't necessarily run the people who are working in their aldermanic district. They don't run the, you know, sanitation folks who happen to work in the district. That's still run out of the mayor's office.
I guess the
point. Well, let me just finish real quick. The point is, when you listen to Mayor Pete talk, you see people get excited. The way people got excited with Obama, you don't see that when, you know, a Tim Ryan is talking, when an Elizabeth Warren is talking.
Some people get excited when Elizabeth Warren talks.
I do think it's going to be interesting, because as much as there might have been racism against President Obama when he was running and when he was in office, I think that it is weird. I mean, he's already getting anti-LGBT protesters to have protesters, you know, outside of your, you know, where you're having an event, protesting who you are as a person. It's going to get very strange as we go on with this election season, I think.
Patty, let me just be clear for a second. Mayor Pete is incredibly impressive. I just don't think this is the right time for him. This election has to be about Donald Trump, not about whether we should have a gay person as president of the United States. We do not want to change this conversation. We want this to be a referendum on Donald Trump's presidency.
Right. Well, I'm saying it's going to be, and I think for young folks who are growing up now in an environment where it finally seems like you can say who you are and be who you are, it's going to be interesting to watch some of these. It's just weird to me. It's just so strange. We've never had a presidential election where someone is being protested simply because of who they are. I mean,
that's unfortunate.
Right.
But, I mean, those are...
I mean, like, people didn't come out and say, we don't want a black president. They didn't say that. They might have, you know, had cartoons and done really ugly depictions of him in different ways. But this is specifically who you are. So that's going to be... for me, just as somebody who watches human behavior, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I think he's an interesting candidate. Maybe as a running mate. What would you think of him as a running mate?
I mean, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled if he were the vice president. I'd be thrilled if he were in the administration. I mean, to Ken's point, he said, you know, hey, we've got to get the guy's got to get more experience. He should be governor of Indiana. It's tough to win as a Democrat statewide in Indiana. So to some extent, his political fortunes in the state are kind of capped.
Yeah. And I kind of like Holcomb, by the way.
Holcomb's not bad.
He's not bad.
Sorry, who?
Governor.
The governor of Indiana.
Indiana Republican.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
That's
right. Indiana. It's not a real state.
Hey, now.
Hey, ho.
What is happening?
That was just a shot at Lieber.
We're like cousins. We're like cousins. Yes. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm from Indiana.
Where are you from in Indiana?
Indianapolis. Proud Hoosier.
Oh, I love Indianapolis. Yeah. All right, before we go to the break, but who do you like for so far in this huge field?
Well,
Dave.
I actually have... I'm very impressed by Mayor Pete. I'm concerned about him being young. I'm not concerned about him being gay. I think that's a red herring. The rapid acceptance of gay marriage in this country is the single most remarkable social change acceptance, I think, in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
You literally went from like 30% of people saying okay to 70% of the people saying it's okay. I just don't think that's an issue. I mean, the fact that he's a war vet, he's an Afghan a military vet, he's just astonishingly smart, and I think he's fantastic. That said, I have some concerns. I still very much like Amy Klobuchar. And I'm very intrigued by Kamala Harris, even though I am not politically where she is. She's way further left than I am. But I think that I view Kamala Harris very much like I viewed Barack Obama at this time in his campaign. It's not a fully formed product, but she's developing as a candidate, and I'm intrigued by where she will be in 8 months. So that would be my order right now is, Mayor Pete, Amy Klobuchar and Kamala, and we'll see what happens if Michael Bennett gets in the race.
Ken, your thoughts?
Well, I'm with my former boss, Joe Biden. I'm gonna retain. I certainly wish Sherrod Brown had entered the race because I would have favored Sherrod over Joe, but he's not in the race, so I'm sticking with Joe Biden. I think all the Democratic candidates are very impressive. I encourage everybody to seek them out on C-SPAN, CNN, and anywhere else that they appear. You'll learn a lot. This is a really good group of candidates, but I think Joe will stand out when he gets into the race next week.
I know we have to go to the break, but I'm going to read a list right now. I did not realize that it was the 20th the remembrance of the Columbine shooting and the victims. There were 13 who were killed in that shooting: Cassie Bernal, Stephen Kernow, Corey DePooter, Kelly Fleming, Matthew Kechter, Daniel Mauser, Daniel Roborough, William Dave Sanders, Rachel Scott, Isaiah Scholes, John Tomlin, Lauren Townsend, Kyle Velasquez. More after this on 720 WGN.
Join Romeoville Pony Baseball for their opening day celebrations on Saturday, April 27th at the Romeoville Recreation Center.
Play ball!
That's right, grab your glove because the timeless beauty of baseball is back. Enjoy a day of fun and excitement, raffles and contests as Romeoville Pony takes the field once again for opening day, Saturday, April 27th. Romeoville Pony Baseball is passionate about teaching children the game of baseball and providing an opportunity to improve their skills. Find out more at RomeoVillePony.com. Thousands of lawsuits have been filed by plaintiffs who claim that long-term use of Johnson & Johnson's baby powder gave them ovarian cancer or mesothelioma. The lawsuits mainly focused on the purported connection between cancer and talc, the key ingredient in talcum powder. An investigation by the New York Times uncovered documentation that Johnson & Johnson has been aware that its baby powder had a high risk of containing asbestos, a known cancer-causing substance dating all the way back to the 1970s. According to the report, the FDA found asbestos in more than half of the 11 samples tested. Johnson & Johnson then demanded that the government block any unfavorable findings from being disclosed to the public. Anyone diagnosed with ovarian cancer or mesothelioma who's had a long-term history of using Johnson & Johnson baby powder may be entitled to compensation. Call the GWC Injury Lawyers immediately. 312-999-9999. With over $2 billion successfully recovered for their clients, GWC is the firm to call. 312-999-9999 or visit JusticeStartsToday.com.
An alarming number of preteens are already drinking alcohol, which makes it urgent to find every opportunity to talk to your kids about the dangers of underage drinking. They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit DuPagePLT.org. That's DuPagePLT.org. Talk. They hear you. A public service message from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. For more info, visit DuPagePLT.org.
Brought to you by the DuPage Prevention Leadership Team.
WGN.
WGN Radio conducts a variety of contests throughout the year.
You what?
Contests are void where prohibited by law. Prizes are non-transferable and can't be exchanged for cash.
No.
Winners are responsible for all taxes associated with prizes. WGN Radio may publicize or broadcast winner names or voices.
Yeah.
Winners are ineligible to win within 2 years of receiving prizes over $600 and 60 days for prizes valued less than $600.
I understand.
Employees and their families of
WGN Radio,
Tribune Company, and participating sponsors are disqualified.
What?
Go to WGNRadio.com/contest for complete disclaimers.
Okay.
Everything was perfect as far as I'm concerned. They did a roof for me, and then they did a shower.
We're talking today with mega customer Don Myers.
All I had was a tub, and they put in a shower. The tub stayed there, and it was a real professional job, and I'm real satisfied with it. This tub was all I had for 50 years, so this is a real blessing now. Getting to my age, you know, going to be 83, and getting in and out of the tub was getting a little bit hairy. They put in grab bars and everything. It's a beautiful job. It cleaned everything up. Never had to work like that done before. These fellows really know what they're doing.
One mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
MegaPros.com.
One mega call does it all.
Precious, flat tires, road debris, and express lanes that are anything but express. Getting to work every day is a new adventure. Keep your travel times lower with WGN Traffic on Steve Cochran Show, weekday mornings on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good, everybody. We got a minute. Let's do a speed round. Dave Lundy, tell me something good.
It says off on my board. My something good is one of my very, very dear friends who's been struggling with horrible health issues. Some good news from his doctor today. Not that he's healthy, but he has a fighting chance to survive and a good plan to do it. And I'm very excited about it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, because that can be, you know, when you look at the numbers, it can be hard.
No. He thought he was going to go into his doctor's office this morning and be told that he was done, and he was told he's got a fighting chance.
Oh, good. That was good news. Michael?
My something good is both something good and something bad. The bad is that my daughter started doing crew, like club crew, and the bad is that I have to get up at 5 in the morning every morning to get her to practice. But the good is she has her first meet next weekend in Grand Rapids, so
excellent.
We hope it goes well.
Cool. Ken, tell me something good.
It's going to be 75 degrees on Sunday. Happy Easter. Happy Passover
mine.
To everybody.
Oh.
And just, you know, just enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Happy
it's
Easter.
Going to be a good one.
Happy Easter. Happy Passover. That was yours, Vivian?
Yeah.
Then I'll make it mine, too.
There you go.
Have a great night, everybody.